If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
As is often the case, the conversations that take place during the commercial breaks would make for better radio. So I'm going to go ahead and start here because we are going to go to school with Jesse Newell, and we're going to talk a lot of Chiefs. But just for behind the scenes, Marco takes his jacket off and bears a Mizzou t-shirt.
Welcome to the zoo.
You got me this shirt.
And what was I did? That's a Charlie Hustle shirt, isn't it? And so
because no one hustles like Nate Buchady.
So Charlie Hustle's a great place. Jesse looks in there and goes, "What did he lose a bet or something?" Because he knows that. Where did you go to school, Marco?
Bishop Miege.
No, college.
KU.
Yeah. And your sister goes there right now, right?
Junior in the music school.
But you are a Missouri fan.
Yes. Heart lies with Missouri, brain because school goes to KU.
And so we got into this whole thing, and then that brought up this basketball game that's going to take place in a couple of weeks. And Jesse's like, "Hey, big game coming up." And I said, "Is it?"
Nate, you have never been more insufferable KU guy than you were in the last 5 minutes. I've got to tell you, that was insufferable.
Nothing matters but the tournament.
Well, I did not say that. I did not say that. That don't put those words in my mouth. And this is not actually. I think most insufferable KU fans would completely disagree with me on this. This is one. How am I supposed to get emotionally invested in non-conference basketball? Is there anything that
you're making a real sales pitch for this game on Sports Radio 810 tonight against Seton Hall?
KU basketball does not need anyone to make a sales pitch for them. Like, there's enough Kool-Aid drinkers. Everybody's going to watch the game and all that
Kool-Aid
stuff.
Kool-Aid drinkers.
What sport? This is an honest question. What sport that has games that actually count supposedly to an official record? What games could be less meaningful than non-conference basketball games in college?
Just soccer friendlies. It's the only thing.
They're practically friendlies. Yeah. They're not quite friendlies, but they're practically friendlies. Like, KU lost that game to Tennessee, and my mom's all upset about it, you know? And I'm like, eh? What?
And you said to her, nothing matters but the tournament.
What? No. Because I think trophies matter.
And there was a trophy on the line.
There was a trophy. You're right. So they missed out on a trophy. The Atlantis. Okay, fair point. They did miss out on their first opportunity to win a trophy. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But it's by far the smallest trophy that they can go for, right? They can go. Like, I care a lot about the conference title.
Yeah.
I think that matters a lot. That's real.
Nate, this is literally the Border Patrol. You're going to tell me that KU at Missouri for the first time in 10 years does not matter to anybody?
They already played once. They played
last year.
They played
not at Mizzou Arena or Page Arena, whatever.
It's called Mizzou Arena. Don't be that way, Jesse.
You're insufferable now.
Who's insufferable?
This one's at Columbia?
Yeah.
Okay. The last one was
Allen Fieldhouse last year.
No, it's Mizzou Arena, right?
Yeah, last year was Allen Fieldhouse.
They played one at Sprint Center, too.
Yeah, that wasn't a game. That was
an exhibition. Billy Preston played in that game.
Yeah, Billy Preston's only
game.
What's
the difference? What's the difference?
This one counts in the standings.
What standings?
You guys are not going to talk about this game after it happens. Are you kidding me?
Of course
me,
we are. Everybody's going to get wound up about it.
I'll say this. This means more than the exhibition at the former Sprint Center.
In what way?
Because it's an actual game that counts on your record.
It's not for charity.
It's not a charity for the
Hurricane
victims. So
it'll go in the record books.
Yes.
Okay.
When you go 33-4, that's one of the things.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this.
But, like, if Kansas loses that game and they go on and win the Big 12.
I was at the Kansas-Missouri game in the field house
last year.
And it looked like it meant something to Christian Brown.
It was unbelievable. The atmosphere there was
great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It was one of the best games of the entire year to cover because it meant so much to everybody.
But not
that
really
was
anything
there.
To
but
Nate.
But nothing. Yeah, nothing.
I mean, you're trophy for it?
Me?
Is there a trophy for it?
Oh my God!
That's an honest question. They should be.
They should have a trophy.
Every Big Ten football game I watch is for some sort of trophy. There's a Cyhawk, a cornstalk. There's Paul Bunyan's hammer. There's something going on.
Floyd of Rosedale, the old oaken bucket.
Yeah,
come on,
all those things. So why
don't
they should have one for KU Missouri?
Well, if they played more than twice, they should.
Well, they're starting. This is a three-year deal. What is this?
Well, they were supposed to be more. It was supposed to be in Kansas City, but it got the pandemic and all that stuff.
They'll keep going because you're right. Everybody cares, but
they don't. It's not as important as playing Texas on a big Monday in the last week of February. But it's a big game. It'll be fun. Here's the deal. You know what doesn't matter to me is the Texas Southern game. I'd rather watch games against legitimate teams and former rivals.
I'll listen to that argument. Yeah. KU Missouri hasn't fallen that argument.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't. They haven't played in Missouri in 10 years. This is a huge deal.
Missouri actually looks good this year, so that'll make it a lot more.
It's going to be a Vegas pick'em. I mean, this is going to be a competitive game between two games. Last year, it's 102-65 at the Fieldhouse, where Christian Brown just went all dunky all over Missouri because his brother had just left there and had the bad experience, all that stuff. That atmosphere is going to be amazing. Those Missouri fans are going to be ready.
And where are they playing it?
And I still
is they calling it Page? What are you going to call it now?
Listen, guys. I covered KU for 14 years. When I went to that last game in 2012, I think it was Page Arena. So this is
it's only Page Arena for a minute.
I'll plead ignorance on that one. Let's look it up. 2012. I bet it was Page Arena.
It
in 2012.
Didn't take very long. They all started looking her college transcripts or something and they had to take the name off it like real fast.
The other part about this, let's be completely honest. I mean, I tell the story all the time, but I remember I covered one of KU's trips to Europe in the summer, and remember talking to Bill Self before he left and said, "Hey, what are you hoping to get out of this? I just want to get rotation guys, see what my guys are. The result doesn't matter, whatever." 3 days later, I'm in Switzerland, and Bill Self is getting technicals from an official who doesn't speak his language, okay? Like, the guy, what makes him an amazing coach is that story, because it's like, you can sit here and talk to, it's not that big of a deal. We're going to get run world guys out there. If we lose, we lose, whatever. And then, literally, he's cussing in English to some guy who doesn't speak his language because he got a bad call. And, they're losing by 3 points in a country that's far away on a game that's not televised. But you're telling me, man, KU Missouri at Mizzou with those fans, with the antlers, that Bill Self's intensity meter isn't going to be turned up to
course.
A 10 to win that game? Because, think about the 2012 game, too. I mean, that was Bill Self has sort of famously said that the wrong team won both of those games, which he's probably right, in 2012, where KU was up 8, I think, with a minute and a half left or 2 minutes left in that game, and Missouri came back and won in Columbia, and then obviously the game in Allen Fieldhouse where KU was down 18 or 19 in the second half and came back and won in overtime with the very famous...
And then we got cheated from seeing them in the Big 12 championship game because Baylor beat Kansas. That was going to be the greatest send-off that there was ever going to be, and ended up having to have Missouri play Baylor instead of Missouri-Kansas. The rubber match would have been just freaking outstanding.
Yeah, they were happy celebrating those Big 12 signs that year. Missouri. Like,
they had their SEC t-shirts and all this stuff.
All that stuff. And then, obviously, we
So I think this is going to be fun next time.
It's going to be... Look, for the record,
it means
of
something.
Course...
Okay, we got something. We got Nate Fink.
Here's the point.
8 minutes.
This is a legitimate point, and you can laugh at me all you want about it, but like... am I bitter that it's not still a conference game? Yes, I'm bitter that this isn't still a conference game. It meant so much more when they were in the same league and they were playing for Big 12 titles. And if you're a Missouri fan and you remember the Anthony Peeler year that you beat Kansas twice and won the Big Eight, that was a big deal. And so that's where a lot of this isn't arrogance of me as a KU fan. This is bitterness that this rivalry, it just doesn't mean as much. And here's why. Because, look, if Kansas goes and loses this game against Missouri, and then they go and win the Big 12 and win the national championship, is anybody going to be like, oh, yeah, but they didn't beat Missouri?
No, but they're just fun. Like, it's in the moment. You enjoy the games. That's what sports are.
Of course it's fun. And, of course, the competitors out on the court are going to want to win this thing with all they've got and all those things. But, like, this game doesn't really do anything to help or hurt your cause for your biggest goals. Goals, like there are multiple goals.
It's a game
out
for a seed, possibly. It could be on the wrong seed line if you lose a game.
We also live in the moment, guys. I mean, when it's June, we talk about OTAs because that's what's happening. When it's August, we talk about training camp because that's what's happening. Your guys, Monday, it's going to be a lot of KU Missouri talk that next week. And let's just say this. I mean, what makes college great? I mean, we can talk about like the Chiefs-Broncos rivalry, and I can remember the Montana versus Elway and all that stuff, and it seemed like maybe a bigger deal then, but like nowadays it's like, okay, they're playing each other, they played each other a long time. That doesn't get the same sort of thing that Kansas-Missouri does. You know what I mean? Like those fans hate each other. I mean, that's a different level. And this is part of, well, I guess my point is, if you're following college sports and you don't think Kansas-Missouri is worth watching or a big deal, then you probably shouldn't follow college sports because it's kind of the essence of what college sports is. And so that's kind of where I'm coming at from, is the reason this game is up again, and partly because it's up again, is because the sport was missing and the two teams were missing what they didn't have.
One of those games. And that's why 100%. I would love somehow for them to play in a bowl game because they're both qualified for the first time.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen, I don't think. But it would be great if it did, because bowl games really are just trophies and friendlies. For the most part, and even worse now because people don't play in them because they want to go in the portal or go to the NFL. So if you can give me a compelling bowl game, I will watch that. And I don't think we're going to get it. But
your point is 100% right. I mean, and that's why I'm bitter about it, because I think that the administrators of all these different conferences, and it's not Missouri's fault. It's not Missouri. They were a part of this whole bigger movement of conference realignment, and money has trumped the thing that has made college athletics great. Look at all the rivalries, all the traditional rivalries that got busted up because of greedy conference commissioners and athletics directors chasing TV dollars. Because you're right, you can't have a rivalry with the history of Missouri and Kansas and professional sports in this country. And it's, I guess maybe the Red Sox and Yankees, maybe, but like Chiefs Broncos. How many Bronco fans do you have to go see at work on Monday morning after they play each other? There's a few Bronco fans in town. But, like, I remember when I remember that Anthony Peeler year so well because frickin' Billy Burns and the entire Burns family at St. Peter's Cathedral were all diehard Missouri fans, and I knew I was going to hear from those guys all week long after the game.
That's what you get in college. You just don't get
anything. And especially, Kansas, Missouri, Kansas State, all here. There's a big alumni base in each, in each group. And that is, you're right. It's going to be great.
There we go.
It's going to be great. It's just, anyway. Do you guys understand the point, at least, that I'm making?
It's not the Final Four. It's a regular season non-conference game.
It's not even a Big 12 game.
No. But it is better than Texas Southern.
Oh, it's way better.
And this is, like, why do they have the I've watched quite a bit of college basketball the last two nights because they're compelling games between the Big Ten and the ACC. I was like, oh, all right, this is good.
But I will say this,
you know?
Like, even as a Kansas fan, like,
and we got the SEC Big 12 tonight.
I get excited when Kansas plays Duke
SEC,
in the
Big
Champions
East.
Classic, but if they lose it, I'm kind of like, all that really did was give me a barometer on how
much better
they
got to
get by the end of the year.
In my mind.
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
It really is because of all the history. If it's a good game, if it's like last year, it's kind of boring.
Kansas fans loved that last year.
You think everybody realizes this is a pickup game? I mean, KU just won the title.
Yeah, that's a
They just beat Missouri by 37 last year.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think everybody realizes that this is a coin flip game?
That surprised me when you said that.
I don't think they do.
Marco's the guy that likes action. What do you think about that, Marco? Are you going to get some money on that?
Absolutely.
Any game he'll bet on.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's what Greg was telling us. We had Greg Gurley on earlier.
Whenever Professor Locks tweets out that day, and then Missouri money line.
They got eight guys were gone, or eight different guys, in the rotation now for Kansas that they didn't have last year. I mean, it's a very different team, and everybody's different on Missouri.
Well, to be honest, where the jump has come from is Missouri. I mean, they were I was looking, the KenPom rankings, they were like in the 130s last year, and they're in the 30s this year. So, I mean, you jump 100 spots, the game becomes a little bit more competitive. You play at your home place, that adds your 3 points. You don't lose 3 points from playing at the Fieldhouse. KU, honestly, I mean, we don't want to use the L word with Kansas because they do win historically a lot of close games, but they're probably lucky to have the record they do with as many close games as they've played so far this season. So, yeah, I mean, this is setting up to be a really competitive matchup. And it reminds me, too, of, you hear the Like, KU just played K-State in football, and it's like, is the gap closing? I mean, there's a big narrative afterwards, like, has KU closed the gap in football with K-State? Well, part of that was K-State was really good this year, but, you know, is it closing? Maybe a little bit. Won't that be a question here this next week when they play each other? I mean, if it's competitive or Missouri wins, there's going to be that question, like, is Missouri closing that gap? And obviously, they've gone through coaches. They've done so many things to try to get to that level, and this might be an indication that they're a lot closer than people believe.
It's officially a sellout just this morning, too. So, yeah. And I don't remember the last time there was a sellout at Mizzou basketball. So it's going to be fun, Nate.
It is.
Why don't you enjoy it?
I'll enjoy it.
Okay, there you go.
I'll enjoy it.
Okay.
From my basement. You know,
that's fine.
Which is where I need to be for all these types of events. We've all understood that. Let's take a break. let's talk. Look, Jesse already took me to school.
That's right.
On my disdain for non-conference basketball. Mm. Now he's going to take us to school on the NFL and what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs as they get ready for a big. Now this is a big matchup. That is going to have massive implications on the postseason.
Big implications.
Big implications on the line. Chiefs and Bengals right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, yeah. Candles burning low. Lots of mistletoe. Lots of snow and ice. Everywhere.
All right, now that I've got Jesse Newell suitably disgusted with me, let's transition to football. this game, what a game we have on our hands, Jesse, this coming Sunday. And I said earlier today, enjoy it because the Chiefs don't really have a good game on paper the rest of the way. I know it's the NFL, and if they don't show up to play, they can be beaten in any of those other games, but none of those games are going to get you going the way this game against the Bengals does on Sunday. Are you expecting this to be that type of game, like one of those epic regular season games that we see from time to time from the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you hear about a lot of times the Chiefs try to keep like the motivation part of it in-house, and they try to kind of undersell that and not talk too much about it, but it's obvious. I mean, this one, team ends your season last year. They keep you from winning the Super Bowl or going to the Super Bowl. They beat you before that. And then obviously this year, it's, as you said, Nate, it's the biggest hurdle the Chiefs still have to getting a number one seed and the all-important number one seed in the bye this year. And it takes place in Cincinnati. So, yeah, we've already seen a little bit of online chirping going on this week. It's added to it. We've seen in the past, I mean, this matters. You know, the Chiefs have had this happen before earlier this season where certain guys have said certain things. Shaq Barrett, you know, from the Bucs said something about their offensive line. The offensive line comes out just completely inspired and beats them. This little bit of a chirping back and forth is going to matter. I think both these teams are going to be ready to play. And again, the Chiefs will have all the bit of the motivation that they could ever have because of the team that it is and the team that it is and the result that they had at the end of last year that kept them from the Super Bowl.
We're talking to Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star about the Chiefs and Bengals coming up. And you think this is fair to say it this way, Jesse, the Chiefs feel like the reason they didn't win either or both of those games last year is more about them than the Bengals? Do you think they feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, I think they have a right to feel that way, right? I mean, they've been mostly invincible when they play well in these other games. And you just look back at all the scenarios and everything that happened. I mean, man, they had the magic to beat the Bills, and then that kind of just goes to the side because they couldn't take care of the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. But, I mean, the Chiefs had it, right? I mean, they were up. They were up multiple scores. And I remember talking after that game, the one thing, when we were having our little Kansas City Star postgame video, I would have said, with the score what it was at halftime against the Bengals, the last thing I would have thought I told you after the game, the reason the Chiefs lost, or probably the biggest reason the Chiefs lost, is that Patrick Mahomes just lost himself. You know what I mean? And we just haven't seen that, right? Like, we haven't. Whenever there's been a bad play, he'll get back on course and get a good play. And he was even talking about this yesterday at the press conference, which is like getting some, I know you were asking him, Todd, about this, kind of getting some guardrails in place to basically, if you do start to lose what you're doing or your fundamentals or your mind or your focus, how to get yourself back so that doesn't beat you twice. And so, yeah, that it's it's sort of amazing when you look back and think of all the things that had to go wrong for the Chiefs to lose that game, but all of them did. And like you said, I think they're ready to go show that they're a better team this year, and a team that's more focused, and a team that does not lose its focus. That's kind of been one of the biggest rallying cries we've heard from Andy Reid and the rest of the team this year, is to kind of maintain that focus throughout and to not lose that edge that they have. And so I think this is the biggest example or biggest indication that they haven't lost that if they can go out there against Cincinnati and put on a performance that they want to put on.
And the Bengals, to their credit last year, they needed to prove they were ready for prime time. And beating the Chiefs in January, not November, December, because it's still undefeated in November, December, however long, winning that game, I think, made them feel like, hey, we're like legit. And then they got their momentum in the postseason, right? They beat the Raiders in a very close game. They beat the Titans in a very close game, which gave the Chiefs home field advantage. And then to respond the way they did in the final, you know, minute of the first half and then throughout the second half, I mean, they felt they were legit. Maybe they got a little hangover this year too, because they've had some injuries, because I feel like they should probably be better than they are at this point, record-wise.
They lost two games to start the season, and Burrow got hit 1,000 times. They rebuilt their offensive line in the offseason, and it didn't look like it was a good rebuilding project at the beginning and all that. But they've sure been good ever since. But something doesn't sit well with me about the tenor of the conversation we're having right now. And because we've been talking about it like this all day, this idea that, well, I mean, I feel like it's just looming over it. This is like this... the Chiefs, yeah, they beat the Chiefs twice last year, but we all know the Chiefs were better than them. That's just how it feels. And everything you're saying, well, it was what the Chiefs did. It wasn't what the Bengals did. And, you know, the thing I love about sports, and now the problem I have with college football instead of college basketball, Jesse, is that garbage line of thinking actually matters in college football. Who we think is better actually matters. And that's what I love about college basketball, by the way. You got to go win the games, you know, as opposed to, well, we just think they're better so they get in the tournament. And we can all think that, because I felt that way after they lost the regular season game. I remember tweeting out, like, the moment the game was over, tough break for the Chiefs. Look forward to seeing them in the playoffs. Because I felt like, well, the Chiefs are going to kick their ass in the playoffs, especially if it's at Arrowhead Stadium.
No, they were, if you just turn the game off at halftime.
Yeah, and in the first half, it looked like they were. But you know what? They didn't. The Bengals got scoreboard on the Chiefs twice now. They can
big
say
time.
Scoreboard two times on you. And, you know, that is the part where I guess, like, I hope that for the Chiefs' sake that they're not just thinking to themselves, yeah, they beat us twice last year, but we all know we're better than them.
I don't think they feel – I think they feel – what I felt in the locker room and at the podium yesterday was a very focused, like, this – one
it needs
bothered
to be.
The Chiefs, and that's they've been thinking about this.
Yeah, because that's a good Bengals team. They did a lot of things to win those games, too. It wasn't just the Chiefs shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear this often, too, but, Dad, yeah, there's people in the locker room yesterday talking about, hey, this has been circled. This has been a game that's on their list, on their radar for a long time. And so, again, a lot of times with professional sports, even college sports, you don't hear people come out and say that because you kind of put all your eggs in one basket. But, I mean, if you're going to, why wouldn't you this game? I mean, we understand the stakes here. And to your point, Nate, you know, I think this about the Bengals, and this is kind of Mr. Math guy in me, Mr. Rational. You know, we can talk about scoreboard if you want, and the Bengals made those plays to win the game. And again, so many coaches' contracts, so many decisions, everything depends on close games. And can you make the play? Can you not make the play? Some of that's a little bit of random chance, too. They won a bunch of close games at the end of last year. They lost a bunch of close games at the beginning of this year. And then that's kind of balanced out. If you look at their team quality, this is probably a better team right now than it was in the AFC Championship game last year. So if the Chiefs aren't ready for that, then yeah, they can get their butts beat. That's absolutely the case. I guess it kind of lets you wonder where the Chiefs are right now compared to where they were last year. And again, we know we don't have to bring up Tyreek again, but I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. So, like, are they better without him and the rookies they have now as they're developing? It's probably pretty close, honestly, where the Chiefs are now compared to then. And so, yeah, this to me seems like a Cincinnati Bengals team that was good last year, caught a lot of good breaks, got better this year, lost a bunch of close games early, and now is sort of ascending to a mark at this point that is probably better than they were at any point here in the last 2 years.
I think the Chiefs are better. They've, what is it, three games in a row with over 400 yards of offense? And the defense definitely better this year than it was last year, right? You tell me. You study the numbers closer than I do. They certainly, the eye test tells me they're way better than they were last year.
So, yeah, I think we're kind of dealing with degrees of separation here. So, like,
is the offense better than last year? I mean, it's probably close. I think
the offense is close, but the defense is way better.
I would say better. I'm not sure way better, because on a drive by drive basis, on a first down basis, they don't get off the field very quickly. And a lot of these things that have happened to them lately have been sort of like, okay, you got this third string quarterback you're playing. The question I have, and this is kind of part of the big picture too with this Bengals game, is let's think back this year to teams that have had number one true wide receivers, and how has the Chiefs defense fared against them? And I think that's a major question they need to answer. Mm-hmm. Because think about Devontae Adams, what he did. Think about what Keenan Allen did on his first game back. Think about all these number one guys. And then think back, I know they locked him down last year and did some different things in the second game, but what Ja'Marr Chase did to them in the first game last year in Cincinnati. So if there is one test to be passed by this defense where I would go out there and say, hey, this is a lot better than what it was a season ago, I would say that this sort of thing, Ja'Marr Chase coming back out there and having receivers like that and T. Higgins to be able to go against, if the Chiefs can lock that sort of thing down, then yeah, I would feel much better about them. But as of now, I'd say better, but I would say it's a small shade. I don't think that they are top 10-ish, that sort of thing.
One thing I do think they are better at so far is not allowing monstrously long touchdowns. You know, last year in the regular season game, there was a 72-yarder and a 69-yarder. I don't think they've allowed a touchdown that long this year. Now, part can be, maybe Devontae Adams would have gone 90 yards on one of those if you were back there. But the numbers are what the numbers are. So they've done a little bit better job of maybe giving up a pass, but tackling them at some point and maybe not having it be a score. I think the explosive plays, it feels like to me, are down a little bit. At least the really explosive game-breaking plays that Ja'Marr Chase made on him in Cincinnati last year.
Yeah, it really depends on kind of what your focus is of what you're looking at. Again, where the Chiefs' offense is like most successful, basically historically successful, is what I'm talking about with the stat is called series conversion rate. Every time you get a first down, you get another first down or a touchdown. And the Chiefs are like third or second right now in the last 22 years in being able to do that. So, like, that's really good. If every time you get a first down, 82% of the time you get a first down again, I mean, you're going to be marching the ball up and down the field. It's really hard to stop you. And you don't have to rely on those big plays. You're just a consistent machine. That's really, that same stat is where the Chiefs defense is lacking. Now, I agree with you, Todd. And we hear so much about Steve Spagnuolo saying, don't give up big plays. That is a focus of their defense. They've done a better job this year. Part of that makes sense, because if you're not the most talented in the world, you just make the team snap it again. Maybe they'll make a mistake. Maybe you'll get a turnover. So I think there's schematically and philosophically something to that. But I also think with the Chiefs, you know, we saw this last game against the Rams as an example. How many times did the Chiefs touch the ball? Like seven?
Yeah, they didn't have a lot.
I mean, so sometimes when you're making them snap it again, kind of the downside of that is, hey, if you give up the 180-yard play to Devontae Adams, well, then you throw the ball right back to Patrick Mahomes, who's probably going to march him 12 plays, 80 yards down the field. So part of that is, again, philosophical, but part of it, too, is like if you just keep giving up first downs, not only are you giving up the touchdown, you're milking the clock, and all of a sudden you don't have as many opportunities for your superhuman offense to go out there and make things up.
Yet they're still the number one offense in the NFL, you know, with a lot of the statistics anyway.
Yeah.
How many of those, this is an honest question without me even looking, how many of those games against good number one wide receivers was McDuffie a part of the defense? And does that, how much does his presence on the field change what they were earlier in the season to what they are now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess Keenan Allen's was still, even though that was obviously against Joshua Williams, the big catch that he had down the sideline that looked like it might be the game-changing play before Patrick Mahomes and company drove down the field. So I do think he makes a difference. I mean, I remember having this conversation with you guys in the summer, like, which rookie do you think will have the biggest impact? And I was Team McDuffie from then, and I still think he probably will have the most impact, even with all the time that he missed this year. And he's kind of trended towards being exactly what they wanted him to be as the first-round draft pick they traded up for. So that is a good question. We'll see. Again, it's a challenge for them. It's a challenge for Josh Williams. I think this past week was in there for 100% of the snaps defensively. That's the first time that's had that happen. So that, and then, you know, L'Jarius Sneed, they've kind of moved him around and done some different things with him, but he'll be part of the coverage as well. So, I'm with you there. We can see that impact and if they can have it, but we obviously will see a motivated Ja'Marr Chase if Twitter is any indication, because, he's – I didn't –
I think I'm too old to get the references about tuna in a can and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, he's going to be motivated and ready to go.
Well, that was an unusual situation yesterday in the locker room where Justin Reed was trying to talk about Hunter Henry and said the number and then the name, and then it got confusing. But he never should have said, I'm going to lock anyone down. And that's not something you hear out of the Chiefs locker room very often, right? So,
just to clear up,
Hayden Hurst.
We've thrown seven different names out there that he might have been talking about. But,
Hayden Hurst, who's number 88 for the Bengals, not T. Higgins, who's number 85 for the Bengals. And Ja'Marr Chase was not mentioned at all, but it's Twitter. So when someone posts a video with a clip in it, there you go. This is what happens in the world. And as I was sitting there when it happened, I'm like, well, this is probably going to be something. Because you don't hear anyone on the Chiefs really say, I'm going to lock somebody down or I'm going to do this on the record. They may be saying it in the meetings and all that kind of stuff. It just adds to this, I guess. This is the way this works. And these guys, a lot of them are on Twitter all the time, just searching their name, searching anything, watching things and looking for motivation, which is, I guess, the cool part of this now.
Who's going to end up on Ja'Marr Chase the majority of the snaps in this game?
McDuffie probably, right?
You would think so. And, I mean, listen, Justin Reed's a great guy. I love talking to him in the locker room. He's a great dude. It can go both ways. I mean, I talk about, okay, you know, Shaq Barrett comes in and, hey, he's the one that motivates the Chiefs and the offensive line's fired up and they go out and knock him off the ball and all these sorts of things. Jeffrey Simmons for the Titans talked trash too. Mm-hmm. And then guess what happened? Those guys came to play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, again, we can sort of, I mean, listen, this is a newspaper writer here. We can be guilty of this. Whatever happens in the game, then the narrative becomes what happens in the game. But I'm not necessarily saying that sort of thing is bad for the Chiefs. I mean, we saw them. The Rams game was a sleepwalk. I mean, it was going to be a sleepwalk. They were way better than the Rams. This game was coming up, all those sorts of things. But I just don't expect the Chiefs to come out flat against Cincinnati, and this might play into part of that. And if that motivates the team, gets them fired up, and gets them going, then this could definitely be a positive as much as it could be a negative, as we've seen from different Chiefs opponents this year.
Yeah, I don't think anyone needs motivation for this one. We're going to take a break. Is that what you're telling me? After the break, I want to talk to you about special teams. Because that has been an issue for this team, and it's not that big a deal a lot of times. But in a game like this, one little mistake could really cost you.
Let me be the 5,000th person to say the special teams haven't been very special for the Chiefs. We'll talk about that with Jesse Newell right after this. Our World Cup updates are presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Right now, Croatia and Belgium are scoreless. This would, I believe, threaten to be the 24th match at the World Cup so far that would be scoreless at halftime. And I have a whole theory on that was given to me by Benny Failhaber.
Mm-hmm.
When you are a national team and you don't get a chance to work together and practice together on a daily basis,
takes a while.
It's hard to develop the chemistry to actually create goals against organized defenses. And so the games that you're seeing that are wide open are two teams that have to win. And so they kind of have to throw caution to the wind and just play a wide open game. And these teams only got 1 week to even practice together. Not even a full week this time, where usually you get a full month of training going into it. But as these teams grow into the tournament, they'll get better and better at scoring. In the other game, Morocco's got a 2-1 lead over Canada, and Morocco has scored all three goals because the goal for Canada was an own goal. That's your update on the World Cup presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. And, of course, there's two more big games coming up later today that'll be more entertaining in that group.
Jesse, yeah, well, there's a chance for Belgium not to make it through here in this situation that we have right now, and that would be a monstrous upset. So that second half of this Belgium-Croatia game is going to be pretty wild. Jesse Newell from The Star is here. And before
special teams, Todd.
Before we went to break, special teams. Now, I don't think you tell me. It doesn't sound like Kadarius Toney is going to be playing this week. So someone has to catch punts. It looks like that's probably Justin Watson's job at this point. Now we're going to talk to Dave Tobe a little bit later today. You think the door is closed forever for Sky Moore this year to catch punts?
Yeah, I think you said exactly right. Forever this year. That's exactly. Yes, he should not return another one. And I actually got to talk to Sky in the locker room yesterday and went over his first catch, which I wrote about at the start. It's really fascinating, actually, to go through. He actually adjusted his route based on the defense. Him and Mahomes were on the same page. He catches it down the sideline. He jumps up and obviously has some skips and hops and celebrates. And again, that's a big step for him because we talked about him developing as a rookie and like learning those nuances of the offense to be able to be on the same page as Patrick Mahomes. And when you get there, all of a sudden you can let his athletic physical ability show. And when that happens,
fair, that's more important for him to be a good wide receiver than a punt returner.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, he did mention to me, it's like I just dropped the punt, so I it felt good to do something. And so that's the point I would make right now. Like, you can't just keep— he's trying. He's not saying you know. He's not trying to drop punts. He's not trying to mess up in that way. So he's making progress as a receiver, and you rebuilt his confidence as a receiver, and he's developed as a receiver. He's been really good for you the last couple weeks. You can't put him back out there. So for the Chiefs especially, I know there's been discussion of this, you know, special teams statistics tell us about 1/9 of the game, okay? So in very rare instances, they're going to determine the game, kind of like the Colts game, but it doesn't have to impact the outcome if you don't really want it to. And if you're the Chiefs, you probably don't want it to if you have the quarterback that you do. So, yeah, I'd put Justin Watson back there. I'd do a lot of fair catches. I think Kadarius Toney will be back at some point here, and he can give you a little bit more flash. But most of the time with your special teams, you don't need flash.
I don't think the Chiefs don't need flash.
They don't need unpredictability.
They need the ball.
They don't need crazes. They need the ball. That's exactly it. And Justin Watson can catch the ball for you.
Okay, so that leads us to Dave Tobe. And Dave Tobe has been widely considered one of the best, if not the best, special teams coaches in the entire NFL for quite some time. And Andy Reid has made it clear that that's a priority because he's kept Dave Tobe on the staff. And he's got all kinds of titles, assistant head coach, whatever it is now. You know, it matters to him. And boy, do I hear a lot of griping about Dave Tobe from the fans when I watch games right now. My opinion on this is kind of like Ned Yost was considered a genius managing the bullpen when he had HDH to go to in the bullpen, right? And then all of a sudden those guys were gone and his bullpen management didn't seem so great. It is because they're struggling kind of across the board in special teams. They've had mess ups on the kick returns. You know, they've given up an onside kick and all that stuff.
Does
Dave Tobe deserve the criticism he's getting, or is this just a case of personnel where they lost a lot of guys that were really good special teams players, and they've replaced them with young guys that don't have the experience? Where do we come down on all that?
So I would say this. You're right. I mean, I think I lost six core four guys from a year ago, which core four is the, you know, you do all four areas of the special team. So you are going to be hurting a little bit. And that's a reason, like Chris LeMond's, you know, when you keep him on the team, you just kind of want some stability there. We've seen them call up Marcus Kemp. You know, he's another guy where you just kind of have stability there. So I'm mostly in agreement with you. Like, younger players haven't fully gotten it yet, but you get younger and faster, and we talk about this on the defense. You know, there's going to be more mistakes, but there's also going to be some better plays because you've got faster dudes out there that can make up for mistakes, like Brian Cook's out there on the coverage team, and he's usually the first one down the field on kickoffs, you know what I mean? And sometimes he might not run to the exact right place because he hasn't done it his whole life or with the Chiefs for a long time, but man, he's doing it all out, that sort of thing. I think the criticism, again, if it's tough here because you have— we talked about this with baseball, Nate. Right now, the incentive in baseball is to hit the ball over the wall.
Right. Okay?
And the incentive to hit the ball over the wall means that there's more strikeouts. It means that the games are long. It means there's not much action. And so with your baseball, you have to figure out a way to align the incentives so that singles mean more and that the speed game means more and that you value those things, because right now, hitting the ball over the wall just means so much, it's overpowered everything else. I think for the Chiefs, it's kind of what we talked about. Like, Dave Tobe is an amazing special teams coach, and he's used to winning games for his team because he's such a good special teams coach.
Right.
This team probably doesn't need to have games won by special teams. So you have these misaligned incentives, if you will, with your Dave Tobe, because he is amazing. He is great, and he wants to contribute. He wants to have the big return, and they had a big one against the 49ers, to be fair, to start off the second half. So it did help him out. But again, there probably is a person above that needs to come and basically have a come to Jesus moment and basically say, look, Dave, I appreciate you wanting to develop this guy more. Someday he might be a great punt returner. Can't put him back out there again. And biggest thing is there cannot be another punt return put on the carpet the rest of this year because there's enough players on this team that can catch the ball, fair catch it, and give Patrick Mahomes the football. And so I think that's where it's at right now. It's tough. I mean, it's tough because Dave Tobe is good at his job, and he's been good at his job, and he wants to be good at his job, and he probably wants to show further on this season how great the Chiefs special teams can be. But I think if you take a step back, it doesn't have to be special, as you would say, Nate. It doesn't have to be special for the Chiefs to be good this year. It needs to be average. It needs to be don't screw up. And right now, they're not at don't screw
the,
up.
You know, line in golf is boring golf is good golf. I'm learning all this stuff.
Oh, sure.
I play.
Yeah.
You but, you know, like boring special teams is good special
it's
teams.
Absolutely. For the
good.
Chiefs, it is. Yeah. For the Chiefs.
Yeah. Like the Chiefs lost the game against the Colts for a lot of reasons. But if they would have played a little bit better on special teams, like Sky Moore doesn't fumble the punt, they would have been. They could have withstood that. They really, the biggest problem that day was they had a kicker who wasn't their normal kicker, and he missed kicks and then forced them to wildly try to fake a field goal because they didn't trust the guy to make the kick. So you can't blame the fans out there. You can't blame him that Harrison Butker wasn't on the team. Now, they did pick the kicker who came in, and they cut him the next week. But that's what they can't have happen. If you take away the injury to the kicker, I think people probably feel a little bit differently about the entire special teams, but you can't find one part where they haven't made a mistake, really. I guess they haven't given up a kick return for a touchdown or a punt return for a touchdown.
Well, there's been like one all season in the NFL. I just want to say these are huge plays. When you fumble a punt, and again, this is not to disparage Sky Moore. He's trying. He's trying his best. He didn't do this in college.
Well, the
but
biggest
like,
problem they've had is when he's muffed three punts and they haven't recovered one of them.
Well,
it's okay to muff a punt if you get it.
If you look at like expected points at it, you know, kind of judging what happens with the play, like the biggest play of the last game against the Rams was the Sky Moore muff punt.
Right.
It handed the Rams 5.5 expected points. The Colts game, the biggest play of the Colts game was the Sky Moore muffed punt in the first quarter. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're the Chiefs, you just can't afford to hand another team 6 points when most games you're 7 to 10 points
you
better than the other team.
You certainly can't afford to hand the Bengals anything.
That's
the Rams, they gave them the ball at midfield and they immediately got a sack. They did, so much credit to the Chiefs defense for the couple of bad things that happened to them after the fake punt and after the muffed punt. Chiefs defense didn't allow a point.
But again, that's the defense earning those points
back.
They
got them back. You had to put them in a spot.
It's also against a third-string quarterback.
Exactly.
This is not the Bengals.
Yeah. If you fumble the ball at the 5-yard line against the Bengals, or you give up a fake punt to the Bengals after you've stopped them, you're going to give yourself a headache.
Even bigger picture, I put this in the story, guys, but Sky Moore right now among rookies, Pro Football Focus grade, fourth among rookie receivers in grade. The three above him are all three guys taken in the top 11 picks. He's progressing as a receiver.
Yeah.
He's doing more.
You can see it on the field.
And again, I just talked to him yesterday. Like, he wanted to make up for that punt. No more of this confidence stuff. I mean, you can be happy and proud of him for coming back from that. It's time to stop putting him in that situation. So Justin Watson can fair catch it. It's fine. He can fair catch it, give the ball to Patrick Mahomes. They'll be just fine.
I'm all for it.
We will wrap things up on a sports. Oh, no, we're going to take it to the top. Sorry, I do a bad job of listening to my cues. Let's take it to the top. All right, let's get a prediction. What do we think is going to happen in this game against the Bengals?
Yeah, I haven't. The official prediction will come out in the Star tomorrow. Haven't exactly decided yet, but.
Okay, well, I don't want to put you on the spot like that then. What are you thinking? Just high scoring game, close game? What kind of game are you looking at?
Yeah,
here?
You know, I'm interested. Bengals receivers, Chiefs secondary. I mean, I think that will be a major, major storyline. Can those guys hold up against true number one receivers? And I'd call them both number one receivers than T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And now we know those guys have seen all the comments from Kansas City, so they're going to be out there ready to play. But I think
how
that
big
will...
a factor is Hunter Henry going to have in the game?
Oh, yeah.
Or Hayden Hurst. Or
I was going to say, whatever
Higgy,
the Titans' name is.
Hurst, everybody.
85, 88, whoever. They're all out there.
Jesse, thanks for taking us to school today.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's going to school with Jesse Newell on many topics. That's going to do it for us today. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning as we get ready for a massive weekend of sports again here in Kansas City on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.